This morning I feel from the Lord to speak to you about ever-increasing strength. Ever-increasing strength. I want you to go with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 9. I want to look at verse 6 and 7. Talking about ever-increasing strength. Verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." Now, I just want to stop there. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Brothers and sisters, we know by verse 6 that this is a prophetic word regarding Jesus Christ. That truly he is the child that is born and he is the son that is given, and all power and authority has been given to him, which is what is meant by the government shall be upon his shoulders. All power and authority has been given to him. And verse 7 goes on to say, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. And this is what I really want to zero in on. This simply means the bounds of his kingdom shall be more and more enlarged, and as his government increases, his peace increases. The bounds of his kingdom shall be more and more enlarged, and as his government increases, his peace increases. We know right now through the evangelizing of the gospel that his kingdom is continually going forth more and more in the earth. His kingdom is advancing more and more of the earth. And more and more people are coming into the peace and understanding the peace of Christ as his kingdom is spreading over the earth. And we know his kingdom is going to keep spreading over the earth and advancing more and more until the day that he himself comes and sets up his millennial kingdom. And in that day when he sets up his millennial kingdom, his kingdom will indeed be over all the earth. His kingdom will fill all the earth, and the Lord will govern and rule the nations with the scepter of righteousness. But here's the question that I want to ask us this morning. Well, as the Lord's people in the earth today, what does this mean to us personally? What does this mean to me personally? I know as the nations are being evangelized and his kingdom is going forth in the earth, I know that, but what does it mean to me personally today? Beloved, remember as believers, the kingdom of God is within us. Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 21, he says the kingdom of God comes not with observance. In other words, the kingdom of God is not something that you can see with the natural eye. And then he goes on to say, but the kingdom of God is within you. That his kingdom is within our life, his kingdom reigns within our heart. So when Isaiah says, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. What this means to us today is there is no end to what God can do in our life. There's no limit to what God can do in our life. That there isn't anything, when you're walking in that loving, humble obedience to the Lord, there isn't anything that can stop the Lord from really working his kingdom, working his character, working his life, working his very nature, working his truth within our hearts and our lives. You know, I remember the morning that the Lord spoke this to my heart in morning devotions. This came out of a morning devotional time. I was studying Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. I felt the Lord take me there. And as I was studying it, God really began to minister to my heart. And he said, Tim, there's no end to what I can do in your life. And I remember it so well because that day, me and my wife, we had the opportunity to look at a beautiful rainbow. And as we were looking at the rainbow, we were following the rainbow and we couldn't find an end to the rainbow. And my wife looked at me and she said, Tim, I believe the Lord's trying to say something to you. The Lord is saying that he's going to give you a promise and there's going to be no end to the promise. And I just stood there in amazement and I looked at my wife and I said, that is exactly what God spoke to me today in my morning devotions. He told me that there's no end to what God wants to do in my life. And brothers and sisters, it was just a wonderful confirmation from the Lord that while he's spoken was truly the Lord. And I want to tell us again, brothers and sisters, when you love the Lord and you're walking in obedience to the Lord, there is no end to what he can do in your life. Now, with that thought in mind, I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Look with me at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. According to the power that worketh within us. Brothers and sisters, what the Lord is saying in this scripture is this. When it comes to working in your heart, your mind can't even fathom what I can do. When it comes to working in your life, your mind can't even fathom what I'm able to do. I remember last spring, going back to morning devotions, I remember last spring having my morning devotions outside and just spending time marveling at the sunrise. It was I remember the day very clear. It was a very clear day. It was a very beautiful day. It was a very clean, crisp morning. And the sun was rising and it painted the sky with a beautiful red sunset or sunrise. I mean, it was such a beautiful, splendid red. And I was just staring at the sunrise, marveling at it. And God spoke so plainly to my heart. And he said, Tim, as glorious as that sunrise is, it's nothing in the comparison what I'm doing in your life. Tim, as glorious as that sunrise is, it can't even be compared to the glory of what I'm doing within the lives of my people. I'm doing something glorious in their lives. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling us today, God is doing something wonderful in our lives. Now, the reason why I'm bringing all this out is because I feel from the Lord to say this. So often, discouragement can fill our hearts. So often we can feel so discouraged, especially in times of personal failure. In times where I just feel like I failed in something. I failed in a certain area. And discouragement can just begin to fill our hearts. And then we can get into this mindset. The thoughts begin to flood our minds. I'm not changing. I'm not growing. Nothing is happening in my life. The thoughts of, I'm still the same person I always was. I'm still the same person I used to be. Nothing is changing in my life. Sometimes these thoughts can begin to fill our mind and can begin to fill our heart. And we can really fall into a pit of discouragement. But brothers and sisters, when we feel that way, I want to show you the faithfulness of the Lord. When you truly love the Lord and with all of your heart, you're seeking His will for your life. But in those times where you just feel like you just failed and you're in this pit of discouragement and in this pit of personal failure, I want to show you the faithfulness of God. I want you to go with me to the book of John chapter 21. Look with me at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. And they said unto him, We also go with thee. They entered forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So as we read in verse 3, Peter said, I go fishing. And the other disciples responded with him, We go fishing with you. And when you truly approach this with a very prayerful heart, what you can hear in the hearts of these men is discouragement. These men are in a place of discouragement, especially Peter. They are discouraged. And so they get into this boat, and I call it the boat of discouragement, and they go fishing, and they catch nothing. The Bible says they don't catch anything all night. And brothers and sisters, here's the question that I want to ask. Why is Peter discouraged? I mean, when you really approach this story with a prayerful heart, a prayerful mindset, you can just feel the weight of discouragement that's upon these men as they climb into this boat. So again, why are they discouraged? Listen, Jesus has already appeared to these men. This is not his first appearing since he resurrected. He's already appeared to these men. He's already showed them that he's triumphed over the grave. He's triumphed over death. He's already showed them that he is the splendid, risen, triumphant king. He's already showed them that. In fact, look with me at verse 14 in chapter 21. Verse 14 says, This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So he's already appeared to Peter. He's already appeared to these men two other times. They've seen his glory. They've seen his power. They've seen that he's truly triumphed. They've seen that he is truly the risen king. And all authority and power is under his feet. So why are they discouraged? And particularly Peter. Why is Peter discouraged? Well, I believe with all my heart, looking at this story, I believe with all my heart, the reason why he feels so discouraged is because he feels like in his life is nothing but chaff. In his life is nothing but chaff. In other words, I know Jesus is alive and I'm so grateful he's alive and it's so wonderful he's alive. But now I'm in a place of discouragement where I feel like the only thing that is in my life is chaff. Well, Pastor Tim, what in the world do you mean by that? Well, I want you to put a marker. Put your marker in John chapter 21. And go with me to the book of Luke chapter 22. Jesus is only moments away from going to the cross, from being apprehended. And in verse 31, and the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now let's read verse 31 again. And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. In other words, Jesus is saying to Simon, he's saying, Simon, the devil wants to prove that you are all chaff, that you are all straw, that there is no wheat in your life whatsoever. In other words, there's no soundness to your faith. There's no soundness to your strength in God. There's no soundness to the work God has done in your heart. It is all straw blowing in the wind. Peter, that's what the Lord, well, that's what Satan wants to reveal. He wants to show that there's no wheat in your life. You're all chaff. You're nothing but chaff. There's no soundness in your faith. There's no soundness in the work God's done in your heart. There's no soundness in you. You're just straw blowing in the wind. And of course, we know in this testing time, Peter denied Jesus three times, and then he goes out and he weeps bitterly. I failed the Lord. I failed in my walk with God. And I'm sure the enemy is right there in his mind saying, see, Peter, you're nothing but chaff. Chaff, 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 chaff. You're nothing but straw blowing in the wind. There's no soundness in your faith. There's no soundness in your walk with God. There's no soundness in the work God has done in your heart. You're just straw blowing in the wind. And I'm sure he mentioned it to Peter again. Peter, do you remember when Jesus called you a rock? He's the one that named you Peter. But Peter, I want you to understand you're not a rock. What you are is just chaff. You're just a straw blowing in the wind. And I believe with all my heart, Peter is in that boat of discouragement. He's in that pit of discouragement. You know what? The enemy was right. I am all chaff. There's nothing in my heart. There's no substance in my heart. Nothing has stuck. I've walked with Jesus 3 years and nothing has stuck. I'm just straw blowing in the wind. No strength of God in my life. But here's the wonderful news. In John chapter 21, Jesus comes to restore this man, to encourage this man, to speak life into this man. Go with me back to John chapter 21. He comes to restore these men, and he starts with a very heart-searching question. Look with me at verse 3 again. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not it was Jesus. Let me just stop here. Verse 4, Jesus is standing on the shore, and they knew that it wasn't Jesus. So the question that comes to our heart is this, how come they didn't recognize it was Jesus? How come Peter didn't recognize it was Jesus? I believe Peter didn't recognize it was Jesus is because he was so caught up in himself. He was so caught up in his own failure. He was so caught up in his own personal disappointment, self-disappointment, so much to the point he couldn't recognize Christ. And beloved, I'm telling you, that is the most miserable place in the world to be. when you are so caught up in yourself, so caught up in personal failure, so caught up in self-disappointment that you just cannot see Christ, I'm telling you, that is the most miserable place in the world to be. But the good news is Jesus didn't leave them in that place. He began to speak to them, and he spoke to them a very heart-searching question. Look with me at verse 5. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have you any meat?" And they answered him, "No." Beloved, when you look at it, this is a very heart-searching question. He's not really asking them, "You went fishing. Did you catch any fish?" That's not what he's asking them. What he's asking them is this: is there any life in what you're doing? Is there any life in it? Is it bringing life to your heart? Is it bringing life to your soul? Is it bringing life to your spirit? Is there any life in this, what you're doing? And of course, the obvious answer is no. They're looking at these empty nets and they're full of despair, and it's such emptiness. In their heart, what they are saying is, listen, my heart, my life, my spirit, my soul is just as empty as these nets are. There is no life in this whatsoever. And then Jesus begins to tell them how to find the life again. Look with me at verse 6. And he said unto them, "Cast the nets on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So in other words, this is what Jesus is revealing to them. The life that you are looking for is in your obedience to me. The life that you're looking for is in your obedience to my word, my presence, my strength, my comfort, my joy, my strength, my rest is in obedience. And ultimately he's saying, come back to faith and obedience and you'll find the life again. You don't have to feel like these empty nets. You don't have to feel like these empty nets are the definition of your life. If you'll just come back to a place of faith and obedience again, you will find the life come back in your relationship with God. Beloved, I so love the life that's in my relationship with God. I don't mean this to sound boasting, but I have found life in my walk with Jesus. I can tell you, when I pray, there's life. When I seek God, there's life in that prayer closet. When I walk with God through the circumstances of life, there's life there. Why? Because there is an abundant life in this relationship with God. And Jesus is telling these disciples, you don't have to let these nets define your life. I'm going to tell you where the life is at. Love me, seek me, walk in faith and obedience to me, and you will know what it means when I said, I come to give you abundant life. Now look with me at verse 7. We're going to read through verse 11. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire on the coast there, and fish laid thereon in bread. And Jesus said unto them, "Bring of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Yet was not the net broken. Now, listen, there's so much we can bring out of what we just read. But there's just really one thing in particular I really feel from the Lord that he wants me to bring out. So let me just begin by saying it this way. This miracle in John chapter 21 is almost identical to the very first miracle Peter ever saw Jesus perform. I mean, when you look at the miracles, they are exactly identical. I want you to look at it. I want you to put your marker in John chapter 21. And I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 5. John chapter 21, put your marker there, and go with me to Luke chapter 5. Start with verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draw." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. So what I want you to look at is I want us to see. I love this. This is one of my favorite truths in the Bible. If I get excited about this, please bear with me, because this is one of my favorite truths. The Lord has just made it so real to my heart. In Luke chapter 5, it's almost an identical miracle as John chapter 21. I mean, you see the same thing going on. But brothers and sisters, if we have eyes to see it and ears to hear it, there is one difference. One very powerful difference. I want you to look with me again at verse 6. It says, and when had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. What I want you to realize, and what I want us to see, is that in this miracle, the very first time they encountered Jesus, the day they would surrender their heart and say, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, this time the net broke. It wasn't able to hold the fish. Wasn't able to contain the fish. Now I want you to go with me to John chapter 21. Look with me at verse 6. Verse 11, excuse me. Look with me at verse 11. It says, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. So this time, when they obeyed the Lord, their nets weren't broken. Their nets were powerful enough to hold the fish. Now, brothers and sisters, Jesus is speaking to these men that are discouraged. Hear me. He's speaking to men that are discouraged, and there's something in this he's speaking to them. And this is what he's speaking. He's saying, yes, you're discouraged, but you need to realize you have a strength in God you didn't have before. Peter, you have a strength in me you didn't have 3 years ago that God gave that day you gave your heart and resolved to follow me. That's what he's saying. He's saying, Peter, 3 years ago, you gave me your heart and decided to follow me. And I'm telling you, in those 3 years, when you begin to walk with me every day of your life, God has been continually birthing a strength in your life. Peter, you have a strength in me now that you didn't have back then when you were first saved. Ultimately, that's what he's saying. See, what he's saying is, Peter, whether you realize it or not, there is an ever-increasing strength in your life. There is a strength in God in you that is only getting stronger and stronger because God has been faithful to work in your life. He's saying, Peter, these new nets, these nets that are not breaking, this is the definition. You need to see it. There's a strength in you that when you set out with God, that strength of God in your life has been ever increasing in your life. And ultimately what the Lord is saying is this. Ultimately the Lord is saying, listen, you're discouraged, and I'm telling you you're discouraged because your focus is on self, and you, one more time, you need to get the focus off of self, and you need to put the focus back on the faithfulness of the Lord. You're sitting here discouraged. You feel like you're all chaff, Peter. You feel like there's no soundness in your testimony. You feel like there's no soundness in what God has done in your life. But I'm telling you, you're discouraged because you're focused on self. You need to get your eyes off self. Put it right back on the faithfulness of God. God has been working something in your life. And I feel from the Lord today, and I want to say it in love but in boldness, the reason there's people sitting in here today who are discouraged is because your whole focus is on self. Your whole focus is on self, and I'm not changing, and there's nothing happening in my life. And like Peter, I'm all chaff. My testimony's all chaff. But God is saying this morning, you need to get your eyes off self and come back into faith. You need to come back into faith. God did not save you just to leave you where you are. He's working something so glorious in your life, and you need to come back into faith. That's what God is saying. There's a strength in you. Listen, there's a strength in you. You didn't have that day you were first born again. Sure, there might be areas of personal failure in your life and mistakes. But I've learned something in my walk. Mistakes are not failure. Mistakes is learning instruments from the Lord. The greatest lessons you learn from the Lord are in mistakes. And when you embrace your mistakes and learn from mistakes, I'm telling you, they are your greatest teachers. And the Lord is saying, listen, if you're in this house today and you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling like, God, there's nothing but chaff in my life. I'm just a straw blowing in the wind. There's no soundness in my walk. There's no soundness in my testimony. God is saying today, you need to put your eyes on the faithfulness of God and come back in the faith. And know that he's doing something glorious in your life. Now I want to show you something very simple. But the Lord showed it to me this week about Peter. And I'm telling you, it really spoke to my heart. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 3. Do you have Acts chapter 3? Put your marker there. Go with me to Matthew 14. Look with me at verse 28. We know they're on the sea in a storm. The waves and winds are beating into the ship, so much to the point they feel like they're going to sink. Jesus comes walking on the water. They see him. Verse 28. And Peter answered the Lord and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. So Peter is sinking. He's walking with Jesus for a moment. His eyes are on Jesus. But all of a sudden, he hears the howling of the wind and he sees the crashing of the waves, and his eyes begin to turn from Jesus. And he begins to get his eyes on the winds and the waves, and he begins to sink. I mean, he's going down. And sometimes isn't that how we feel? Sometimes we feel like, Lord, I'm sinking in my doubt here. I'm sinking in my fear here. I'm sinking in my unbelief here. And a lot of times there's a discouragement that just can rise up in our heart because we feel overwhelmed by what we're going through. God, I feel overwhelmed. I feel overwhelmed by the circumstance. I feel overwhelmed by what I'm facing. And in being overwhelmed, we can feel like we're sinking in unbelief and discouragement and fear. And just a discouragement can come into the heart. God, I should be standing. Lord, I should be standing in this. God, and the discouragement just comes into the heart. But Jesus sees Peter sinking. And I want you to look at the faithfulness of God. Look at the faithfulness of Christ. Verse 31 says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? So here's the picture. He's sinking. Jesus sees him sinking. So he reaches out his hand. He grasps Peter and he lifts him up above the waves. Now, brothers and sisters, you got to see it in your mind. Okay, I'm asking you to have an imagination now. You got to see it in your mind. Peter's afraid. He's beginning to sink. I mean, he's sinking. The water's to his knees. It could very well be up to his waist. He's crying out to Jesus. And Jesus reaches out his hand and he grabs a hold of Peter. I mean, the water's at his knees now. And he lifts Peter up above the waves and the wind. Does everybody see that in your mind? And he says, Peter, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, brothers and sisters, listen, we can think that's the end of the story. But I'm telling you, if you have eyes to see it, and if I have ears to hear it, that's not the end of the story. Well, Pastor Tim, what do you mean? Go with me to Acts chapter 3. Look at verse 2. Okay, one more time. Look at me. I want you to see it. Because I really want you to catch the revelation here. Peter is in a storm. He's afraid. He's sinking. The water is now up to his knees, climbing towards his waist. I mean, he's sinking. But Jesus comes and he grabs Peter and he lifts him up above the waves and the winds. And he says, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Now we can think that's the end of the story in Peter's life. But brothers and sisters, that wasn't the end of the story in his life. God was faithful to do something in his life. Look with me at Acts chapter 3, verse 2. Verse 2 says, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they daily laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now go with me with verse 6 and 7. Then Peter said unto the lame man, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have unto thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Do you see it? Do you see what I'm saying? Are you catching the revelation? Is something in your heart coming alive saying, I see it? In other words, this is what I'm saying. The same mercy and strength that lifted Peter up is now abiding in Peter's life to lift up others. Peter was lifted up, but now he's lifting up. Do you see the strength that has come into this man's life? You have to catch the revelation. He was a man that was being lifted up, but now he's a man that's lifting up. And in Acts 3, what is it that brought strength to this lame man? What is it that brought strength to the lame man? Look at verse 16. Jesus is now, Peter is now preaching to the gathering crowd, and he says in verse 16, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So what is it that brought strength to this lame man? It was faith. But brothers and sisters, I believe with all my heart, looking at the story, it's not so much the faith that's in the lame man as it's the faith that's in Peter. It's his faith. So he sees this lame man and suddenly he says, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he immediately takes the man up and he lifts him up. I believe with all my heart, this lame man didn't even know I hit him. What just happened? I'm sitting here lame, I hear silver and gold have I none, and next thing I know, I'm standing on my feet. What happened? So it wasn't so much the faith in this lame man's heart as it was in Peter's heart. And brothers and sisters, this is what I'm saying. Instead of sinking faith, Peter now has a lifting faith. Instead of a faith that needs to be lifted up, he now has a faith that is lifting up. Remember when Peter sank in the sea, Jesus lifted him up and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? But in Acts 3, we see Peter not only possesses a faith to lift himself up, but a faith that lifts others up. He has a faith, he has a strength in God not only to stand upon the waves and the winds, but to be Christ's hand extended to lift others up. In Acts chapter 3, listen, that hand that lifted him up when he was sinking, saying, save me, Jesus, save me. The waves are at my waist now. Save me. That same hand that lifted him up, now Peter has become an extension of that hand, and he's lifting others up. Why? Because there's a strength that's in his life, an ever-increasing strength. And brothers and sisters, that is the faithfulness of God in our lives. That's the faithfulness of God in our life. Do you feel overwhelmed by things that are happening? Do you feel discouraged by things that are happening? Is there a voice whispering in your ear, all chaff, all chaff, all chaff? No, no, no. Jesus is saying there is a strength in you. And it is ever increasing in your life. Ever increasing. And one day you're going to find yourself standing upon the waves and the winds, being Christ's hand extended to lift others up. Because of the faithfulness of God in your life. The faithfulness of God in my life. Amen. Let's end with one passage of scripture. Go with me to Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I have one question for you this morning. Are you confident or are you discouraged? Are you confident or are you discouraged? Are you confident that the day you were born again, God began a work in your life and he's continuing that work? You're not the same man you was yesterday, the same woman you was yesterday, and tomorrow you won't be the same man or woman you are today. The work of God is going forth in your life. Are you confident or are you discouraged? Are you confident or are you listening to that voice in your ear that's saying, chaff, chaff, chaff. There's no real work of God in your life. There's no real soundness of God in your life. There's no strength of God in your life. It's all chaff. Are you listening to that voice? Or are you listening to that voice that says, be confident. Be confident. Be confident. What voice are we listening to today? As He is lifting us up, He is putting a strength in our life to lift others up, to be His hand extended. Just like a message I preach, when Moses lifted up the rod, he didn't lift up the rod in his own strength. God stripped him of that. That was in the strength of God. And when Peter reached down and lifted this man up, he did not lift that man up in his own strength. God stripped him of that. He lifted that man up in the strength of God. And that's what God is doing in our lives. God is faithful. That's all I can say. God is faithful. Stand with me this morning.